How are y'all doing? Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'll tell you in a minute. Hey, we got a couple of things. First of all, in case you didn't know this, Wednesday nights, the youth are now, listen, only Wednesday nights. So if you're youth, you know some youth, you might want to bring them. Now understand, it still could come down just a little bit. BCF is probably the hardest Bible study that you could ever do. He's going to water it down, but it cuts to your heart. It deals with everyday life problems, issues. So listen, if you know some youth, they will have their life changed. And it's only Wednesday night. He's doing something completely different on Sunday. But I just wanted you to know that just started last week, so it's not too late. But anyways, announcements is we are starting our Saturday night service in November, and we are going to have our first meeting for all the servants this Saturday, the 16th. No, it's the following Saturday, or is it this Saturday? It's this Saturday. Yes, okay. Gosh, you know, I didn't even know what day it is today. I studied. I'll tell you that in a moment. Hang on. All right, so that's Saturday. See, this Saturday at 6 p.m., we're meeting. So I figure if we're going to serve on a Saturday night, might as well have our first meeting on Saturday night, kind of a dry run. So if you're involved in any capacity, if you signed up to be involved, please show up this Saturday. You'll be getting a phone Friday. Anyways, keep that in mind. My evangelism class is going to start November 7th. We will have signups this Sunday. Now, if you're the type of person who has a difficult time sharing your faith, this class is so powerful. It is so good. It's revolutionized my way of teaching. You don't have to memorize anything, yet it's purely scriptural. And you go, how does that work? You'll see. So sign up for that this Sunday. Super excited. Also, we are going to have a Thursday Thanksgiving feast for people who don't have family coming in. A lot of you have family out of town, but you still, well, we're going to have a time of worship, and we're going to have food here, and you can bring food. It's a potluck, but we'll also have some turkeys and ham. It's going to be awesome. So that's going to be Thursday, November 25th. Sign-ups for that will also start this. If you plan on coming to that, put your name down. It's a great way to have some family time, even if your family's out of town. The last announcement. New to HBC is now by appointment. So if you've only been coming for the last few weeks and you haven't had a chance to meet with me or some of the other leadership, we have lunch together. We have time talking about each other's lives. The staff and I to meet new people. So if that's you and you want to be involved, it's by appointment. So you have to call the office and they'll schedule you for this. Super excited. It's going to be on October 31st. Halloween. Pastor, trick you or treat you. Anyways, I pray if you're new or you know someone new that you would encourage them to call and get involved with that. Okay, so here's someone who's in leadership to teach. What's funny is I forgot. So all day I was studying and I got my graphic and I'm doing all this stuff. And then Desiree comes in and says, oh, are you studying? I go, yeah, teaching tonight. I was like, oh man, that's right. So you're in for a treat. Listen, God is stretching him tonight. This is his first time ever teaching, but you know it's going to be good because he's relying on God. Guy, come on up, man. Put the pressure on. It's all God.
Yeah, hallelujah. Hey, what's up, HBC? Surprise. Yeah, just thinking about that. We were out here in worship today, just running through, starting to do rehearsal. He come walking up, and I could see him in my peripheral, and he's just standing there. So after we had done praying, I looked back at him. He goes, man, I've been studying all day. You're teaching tonight, right? And I go, well, you know, if you want to just go ahead and take the reins one time, because when I knew that, because he'd go in there and tell him, you'll take the next lot. But no. So anyway, let's pray. And we'll get into this. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to do this. It's a stretch, so I believe I want to pass it on to you. So let's pray. Father, we just appreciate you tonight. Just this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit is just amazing to me. So, Father, we pray tonight, God, that you would use me and the words that you're going to give me on this study that I can convey what you want your people to hear tonight. So I just thank you for this opportunity, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The ushers got Bible. Like I said, I'm excited to be up here tonight. It's a stretch for me, again, because I've turned him down twice. Since I've been a deacon, I'm saying, no, this isn't for me. I'm sorry. You know, I've never felt being called to a public ministry. I just never have. I'm behind the scenes guy is who I am. So anyway, but I, through obedience, you know, and where it all started was back at the men's retreat I had. And I felt so comfortable when I did that. And I thought, maybe. And then God gave me this nugget. As you can see on the screen, it's God on display. Pastor, he has an amazing ability making these because you know he's colorblind. And that's what's amazing because it fit right in display in our pastor's life in case you haven't noticed. So praise God. So through much encouragement, I decided to stop kicking and screaming and just support my fellow deacons on Wednesday night and to see what the Lord could do. Will be blessed. God on display. Is God on display in your life tonight? I want to lay a little foundation. The reason why we're all here tonight is because of Jesus Christ and his love. And the title scripture, Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. All around us. Through his love of his Father, we have so many accounts of how God displays his love in us. But the ultimate one we see is what brings us right here tonight. We've given our lives to him. He's forgiven us of our sin. And now we can have God on display. In the popular verse that brought us all to this place, John 3:16-17, for God so loved you, ever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him. Our salvation and personal relationship with our Savior is the best God on display moment, the beginning of a new birth. And what a picture God has given us here to. Through his Son Jesus, offered him on a cross for our redemption of mankind, so little of us can be new and have a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man, I'm doing it from memory, can you tell? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new, come new. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, this is where your story began for you. Began for me back when I bowed my knee and gave Jesus my life. But if you do not know Jesus in here tonight and don't know him as your personal Savior, you're in the right place because your story can start tonight. This is the one that brings us all together in one place. And that's Jesus dying on the cross. No other reason to bring all walks of life from every direction. Hang on a minute. Something just popped up, and now I can't get rid of this stupid thing. Amen. From all walks of life, from every direction, from every background of life, under one roof, all with like mind, because we have like minds because we're living for Jesus. And we have sound minds, too. The Father God is the only one that can do this. To be able to serve the Lord together is the miracle that we have to share with each other. There's a quote from Max Licato. He says, we exist, and I love this, we exist to exhibit God, we serve as canvases for his brushstrokes, papers for his pen, soil for his seed, and glimpses of his image. I read that. You know who I thought of? Susan Brantley. Have any of you seen any of her paintings? There's one in Pastor's office, and there's one in Pastor Gill's office. That woman is amazing how she has an artistic talent that God has given her, that she can display God through that talent. Because each of us have a story of God on display. Another quote from a guy named Alan Smith. Don't know who he is. I just found it, but it sounded great. God doesn't exist for the happiness of man. Man exists for the holiness. That's kind of sums it up right there. Man, if that don't get you excited. Our existence is just as God planned it to be and made you to be. A person to ultimately serve him for his glory, nothing more, nothing less. No mistake, just fact, to display God's glory. Genesis 1:27 in the New Living Translation says, so God created human beings, that's us, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. There are so many stories in here tonight. Is God on display in your life? Is God being displayed in your life to the fullest? Sure is quiet in here. Oh, my gosh. Hey, man, this hit me, too, because I'll get to that part, so... Amen. So we all have is on display, something great that he has done. You have a story to tell of the goodness and greatness of God in your life. Man, I want the world to see God displayed in my life. And Psalm 77:14, you are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. Our story. It can also be a sad story. But it doesn't matter what kind of story it is, because, you know, God always brings a happy ending. Always. So it doesn't matter how bad of a sinner you were, or how good of a sinner you were, or person. Doesn't matter. God's going to get the glory in your story. And I just made that up. That's a free one. God uses all kinds of people just like you and me. 1 Thessalonians, build each other up just as you already are doing. And it's in hearing these stories that as a believer, we strengthen and encourage here. Because I know I get into conversations with people in my team and other people, and, you know, they're down and out, and they got to, you know, and you can always come by and encourage them with a great story of what God has done in your life to right on along. So we encourage each other in our faith, drawing believers also closer to knowing and believing in Jesus. It's amazing that most of the time we go through the same issues. Just comfort each other by sharing. Is that true? We're all got the same thing going on most of the time. But our stories that we tell of how God has he needed to get away with or done away with to change our lives, so we could share that. So I know here's one of the areas that when I first got saved, I was excited about sharing the love of God, but man, I was a fearful guy. I didn't want to open my mouth for nothing. I knew God changed my life, and I knew that he was behind me, but man, when it got to the point where you're having a conversation with somebody and you know what you got to say, you know, we always get caught letting that fear creep into our lives. Fear plays a big part in how we share our stories. When the Holy Spirit is prompting us to share our goodness, with them that he has given us. Your story matters. Don't think that just because you are the person you were wouldn't matter to a person that was totally opposite of you. Because my lifestyle wasn't like Pastor Randy's for sure. But still, my story could encourage him. His story can encourage me. Same thing matter. It's all God. And God can bring that story together and make it make sense in all of our lives. So don't let fear rob you of the blessing that God rob you of the blessings that come with sharing your story. Luke 12:8-9. New Living Translation. I tell you the truth. Everyone who acknowledges me on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. Verse 9, but anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. At times, I know we get stage fright, but know how important it is to be vocal about your life in Christ and what God's done for you in your life. Because your relationship in Christ has been life-changing for you and could be life-changing for the one that hears. Because you never know who God's going to bring in your path. I mean, we all probably prayed for God, will you bring somebody, you know, Sally, whoever, so I can share the love of God with them. That's what he does. And it'll be out of the blue, and he'll put you on the spot, and boy, oh boy, you better be ready. 1 John 4:18, New Living Translation. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. There is no love, no fear in love. And Sunday, when I listened to the live stream, Pastor said something in Revelation 21:8. And I'm just taking a little piece of it because it made sense to me and it kind of fit. So I'm using it. About being cowardly. Talking about all the bad things. And cowardly was one of the first thing that he mentioned. That we're not to cower to no one. We got to be upright and ready to go and ready to share Jesus. The completeness of love means we do not cower in fear before God, dreading his judgment, neither nor or in the day of judgment. We ever deserve, past, present, and future, was poured out by Jesus on the cross. And on the flip side of that, it's like if we are afraid, it is for. And this shows that we have fully experienced his love. If our relationship with God is marked with this tormenting fear, it shows that we have not made complete and mature in his love. Perfect love casts out fear. We also have to be very careful not to lie and exaggerate when we tell our stories. Now, I'm using it. Story just sounded a little better for me. So your story is your testimony. And I know sometimes I get so excited and I might not tell the whole story right or whatever, but you know what God's done in my life, it's portrayed and I get the message across. A lot of times I'll tell stories that's happened in my family and I never get them right because I might leave something out or say something that's not there. But in my heart, I'm really, really conscious of what God's done in my life. So what I'm talking about here is don't exaggerate. Don't say all this kind of stuff that God didn't. That's not good. We must be careful as well that we don't brag or glorify ourselves. You know, I'm a drummer on the worship team, right? It's real easy for me to, but I am. But that's not what it's about. Jim does a fabulous job when I get to go spend some time with the family. We do it because it's our heart of worship that we do it. We don't brag on each other. We help each other. But, yeah, you just don't want to brag or glorify yourself because God doesn't like that. And he's not the one, I mean, fied and bragged upon. When telling your story, it's very important to be honest and tell the truth. We need to do our best to keep the focus on the Lord and to glorify Him for all He has done for us. And this is pretty profound. The believing world should see our testimony lived out daily because it just might point them to the Savior. I get it sometimes we don't want to live for God. I mean, do you ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Yeah, I know y'all just get up and you're just all fired up to live for Jesus, right? I know it's tough sometimes. We don't want to live for God and share our stories because of circumstances in our lives. But you know what, Pastor Randy, when I get frustrated on my walk with Jesus, he always reminds me of James 1:2. When trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Can you believe that? Amen. It's better to be joyful than to be all bummed out and burned out. Consider the impact of one person being impacted by your story for eternity. If one person's life is saved, if one person's life is changed, it's worth every penny of that conversation. It's truly worth it. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ever imagine. God's love is for us is limitless forever and ever, so we as Christians can be ready to share anywhere and anytime for His glory tonight. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift from God. Faith is a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember the day that your friend or family member invited you to receive Jesus Christ? Do you remember the leap of faith? Because it was a leap. It was a decision that we all had to make, and we had to go. You remember the leap of faith that it was, and God met you right where you're at. I have a little story here. When I first got to meet Jesus, me and Cindy came up to visit my brother. We gave our lives to Christ, but we went back on home and didn't do jack with it. It was like, yeah, whatever. But he came down and asked me to move up here 44 years ago to work with him in the family. We went to church, and I rededicated my life. And I remember my brother just leaning over to me, telling me that I'm telling you the truth, and I would never lie to you. Because I know my brother would never lie to me about what was going on in his life and his family's life, because God just totally redirected him. I mean, I remember growing up around him, and he was one wild turkey. And I was never the same. Maybe faith has brought you here tonight. Maybe you find yourself looking for a new story to tell in your life. God is here to meet and give you that new story. And your story has become stagnant. And you want God to refill your tank and revive your story. There's a story in the Bible. You all know it. I'm going to probably butcher this, but I'm going to do the best I can. It's about the woman with the enormous blood disorder. I'm sure you've read the story. We pick it up where Jairus is a leader in the synagogue, and he falls at Jesus' feet because his daughter is near death, and all Jairus wanted was Jesus to come by and touch her so she would be healed. And now we're going to pick it up in Mark 5:24-34 if you want to follow along. Jesus went with him and around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd, touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I could only touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had came out of him. But you can call me kooky. I had a discussion with Jesus about, we know Jesus is Jesus, right? And we knew that he was going to be there. He knew that that girl was going to touch his robe. And we knew it was all going to, or he knew it was all going to. We weren't even around then, so it tells us. But what kind of feeling can you reference that feeling that Jesus felt that day? And I thought, you know, we all have had young kids. We have young kids now. I know there was a time where our youngest would come through the house at night and go and just touch mama on her bed, and it would just flip her out and startle her. Was that the kind of feeling? How about electrical shock? Have you ever been electrocuted? Yeah? Yeah? I pushed a breaker in one day, and my finger slipped, and bam, I got nailed. Was it kind of electrifying for him? I don't know. But you know what I'm telling you about? You just feel that it's like a rush, maybe like a, I don't know, it's like just a supernatural feeling that you know that it came from heaven. And I'm thinking goosebumps, like it's giving me goosebumps just telling you about it. So going to verse 30, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, and says, look at this crowd pressing around. How can you ask who touched you? Now, here's another quirky thing I was thinking about. We've all been to the ball game, been to conch for the Doors. You know, you got 40,000 people in a building, and they got to go through a little 4x8-foot door, and everybody's doing this and doing that. I could imagine in that setting that Jesus was in, people pushing on him and pulling on him and doing all kinds of things. So I reference that to this. I mean, because that's a feeling that I can understand, and it kind of relates to maybe what Jesus. But he didn't care because he knew it was all going to happen anyway. Verse 32, but he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightening woman, trembling, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him she had done it. And he looked down at her and said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. It is over. You talk about faith. And the rest of the story goes on. We know that Jesus made it to Jairus' house. Because of Jairus' faith, his daughter was also healed and touched by Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, not faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In our day-to-day living, we have many things that we put our faith in. Our car. Here in Bullhead in the summer, what do you put your faith in? Air conditioning. And boy, when that, you know, something so p-diddly, huh? Car. Air conditioning, water. We take it for granted that the very faith to be displayed in our lives. But through prayer and faith, God will use our story, our testimony, because he will definitely make a difference in who you touch and share your story. So with that foundation that I laid, Christ dying on the cross, forgiveness of our sin, to change our lives. We are redeemed so our story can live on and give him glory. Now I'm going to share my story with you. This is a grandpa story. Me and Cindy, you know, we were gone for a couple weeks, in case you didn't notice. Up in Tahoe. And our baby Kate, we call her, Kate Lillian, she's our pride and joy, and we went up to see her and spent some time with her. On the backstory of Kate, We're going to go through a natural pregnancy, and it took her all the way to the hospital, and Kate decided to flip, so she was breached, so that blew that whole natural birth out of the water. And Andrea, she was really, really mad. And so Kate was born, and we loved on her, and Grandma Martin hugged her, and I did. And 6 days later, she developed a really, really high fever. Here comes the emotions. And nobody knew what was going on, so we took her into the, they took her in, and we drove up there, and they found out through tests that her intestines were connected. Some of you know this story, but some of you don't. Her large intestine and her small intestine wasn't connected. So all that new baby stuff was just piling up in her, you know. So they took her into surgery and went to one of the hospitals there in Las Vegas and immediately called Cindy and said, who's doing the surgery? I want to know because we want the best. And Cindy told her who it was, and he goes, she said, you got the best. You got the best pediatric surgeon in Las Vegas to do that surgery. So 13 days later, Caitlin, you can put up that first picture. That's her get up. She was going out to go to first grade over at Grandma's. Next picture, Caitlin. This is Kate in the hospital. This was on the day that she had the surgery, and that's my son Jerry and my daughter-in-law Andrea. And she spent 14 days or so in the hospital. But as she's been growing up, she's got a little deficit. There's a deficit because they claimed it was because of the anesthesia and her being so young. She's a little light on her social skills, but I'll tell you what, she is the smartest 7-year-old you'll ever know. She's in first grade reading, what, fourth grade? We went over all her papers when we were there. She's writing cursive in first grade. But the biggest thing, and this is the icing on the cake, because this is God definitely displayed in Kate.
A.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23.
E.
Even a child is known by his doings. Proverbs 20:11.
I.
If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14.
Oh.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 118:1.
You.
Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Psalm 75:1.
B.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31.
See,
children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1.
D.
Depart from evil and do good. Psalm 34:14.
F.
Fear not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 43:5.
G.
God is love. 1 John 4:8.
Good job, Kate. How about Psalm 100?
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, in the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100.
Great job.
There you go. Now, I showed you that because that's no doubt about it. I mean, she might not comprehend everything that she's saying, but I'll tell you what, that memory is going to hold those scriptures in her heart. So again, it's 7 o'clock. I did pretty good, didn't I? So anyway, let me just sum it up. You know, God's glory. We got stories. We can tell them. You got a story, tell it. And I don't see Desiree around here anywhere. But anyway, God's good. I love you guys. There's no other church that I'd rather be in right now. Moving, we're going to Saturday night, man. That is something special. And God's moving and grooving, and we're loving every minute of it. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then the deacons will be up here. So if something that pricked your heart that maybe I said that you want to have some prayer, then you don't hesitate to come up. So let's pray. Father, let's stand and pray. How's that? Father, we just appreciate you tonight. Again, you are a great, great God. Father, we thank you for the ability to know you and to serve you. And Father, I pray for this family that I'm in. I love this family with all my heart. There's no other place that I'd rather be is with this family. So Father, I pray an extra special blessing on them tonight as they go and finish up their week. Father, I want to lift up Dan Maravan. He's up in Kingman. Tonight needs a miracle. Father, I pray that the hands that are helping him, that you would orchestrate healing through them. And Father, I lift up Jackie as she's going through right beside her husband. Father, I pray. I see Beth and Chris are here tonight. Father, I can continue to lift Beth and Chris up to you, that you touch Beth and heal her, Father, and give her strength. And all the other ones that you know who they are. So thank you again, Father, for this opportunity. It's a privilege to do this. And maybe I'll do it again. In Jesus' name, amen.